Tonto Aero Podcast 31 from Paddington in central London. I'm on my way in transit tomorrow to Poland for, you could say, the second half of the Round the World Tour Aero Below the Belt Tour. Because from Poland I'll be going to Kazakhstan, and then through London I'll be going to Spain and Brazil, and then back through London to Japan over the next few months. But it's not really a complete round the world because I'm not doing it all in one go. There's some stopovers. Last time was far too mental. And I'm doing some teaching in London, bits and bobs in London. But anyway, exciting times ahead. Today's podcast, podcast 31, is all about plunging my hand deep inside this warm mailbag that's brimming over, overflowing in front of me with listeners' questions. Mostly today sourced from my Twitter. That's right, gentlemen. I've come late to the party. I have joined Twitter. So these were tweeted at me. It reminds me of that quote that's often posted on Facebook. Come over to MySpace and Twitter my Yahoo till I Google all over your Facebook. So thank you if you've sent in a question. And in the future, I'm answering less questions via YouTube or my Facebook or even random ones emailed to me. So if you've got a question for a future podcast, send it to me as a tweet. First question from John. Let's dive in. He says, I'm thinking Budapest, i.e. Hungary, might be my next day game trip. Can you recommend any specific locations for accommodation, day game, etc.? Now, I'm going to read two more questions that are of a similar nature. Chris has asked me, how did you find Barcelona for day game, Tom? Recommendable? What to avoid there and where to go? Question mark. And John D says, do you have any inside tips for Oxford? All right. Three questions all about day game and travel and flow mad stuff. A little bit of tough love, first of all, in that Tom Torero, I'm not really a travel agent. You're going to have a different experience to me when you go to these places, even though I've day gamed in all three of those cities, Budapest, Barcelona and Oxford. You're going to find it different, depending on your level, your ability, the type of girls you like, how long you're going for, what else you're going to do in the city, how you like that vibe, how you like the weather, etc., etc. So that's the first point. Never take any man's game word as gospel, because usually it's about whether a guy, even myself, got laid in that city. If you got laid nice and quick and easy with a hottie, you think, yeah, I love that city. Like for me, I'll always love Prague, because the first time I went to Prague, I thought it was amazing. You might love Amsterdam because you might have had a same day lay in Amsterdam. Whereas if I hadn't got laid early on in Prague, I might say, ah, shit, no point going. So there's always that bias. The second point, the bigger point, is that, come on, gents, man up and dive in, okay? If you're going to go to a city, any big touristy city, first of all, check out how many people live there, how many tourists go there, and how do you find the good day game areas in a city? Well, just find the shops. I always say where there are shops, there are girls. Where there are posh shops, there are usually hotter girls or more, you know, Dolce Gabbana-ish kind of plastic fantastic girls. Find the shopping street. Is it pedestrian? Find the university if it's in full swing. Find where the tourists roam around. So obviously for Budapest, it's obvious. There's a shopping street parallel to the river. You know where the tourist sites are going to be because they're plastered all over maps. Find shopping centres if it's too hot or too cold. Barcelona, even easier. I'll give you a clue. Plaza Catalunya. Start from there. Look for a shopping centre. Look for the main shopping street and all will be well, okay? Same for Oxford even. Even if you said to me Cardiff or Oxford, find where Topshop is. Find where Zara is. Find where H&M is. Find where the indoor little markets are. And there you go. Give it a try. That's the most important thing. You might love it or you might hate it. If you want more information about these things, you could read Torero Travels. I cover Budapest in there and I cover Barcelona in there. You could watch a bit of Flowmad if you want to know more about Prague. But even more importantly, don't take my word for it. Don't especially take a guy on a forum's word for it, all right? Or word of mouth, fisherman's tales, like so and so, such and such a place is so easy, or such and such a place is like this, or Swedish girls are so easy. As I say in Torero Travels, go and find out for yourself. First of all, I recommend just 2 days in a city to give it a recce, a reconnaissance, a bit like I'm going to do in Kazakhstan for a week. See what it's like. See how many IOIs you get. See what logistics are like. See what cost is like. See what your results are like. That's most important. How many opens? How many number closes? How many instant dates? How many texted back? How many dates? How many kisses? How many lays? There you go. So I know I sound like I'm having a moan, but please, guys, don't email me for travel information. If you haven't done a little bit of work yourself, giving it a go. Sure, I don't mind if you've given it a go and you've got a specific question, but for the basics on any of these cities, give it a go. All right, enough moaning. On to a real question. Mike Davis. Interesting question, Mike. He says, who is your best student? What do you look for in a soon-to-be successful one? I've never answered that question before. You should never have favorites. That's what a good teacher says. But of course, I remember my best student, and he turned into an instructor and a good friend of mine. And he's a guy called Sam. He worked for me for a while before moving to Spain. He's out in Spain. And I think I taught Sam on a boot camp 3-4 years ago when he was 18 or 19. I'm sure he can correct me. But how did I know he was going to be great? Well, on the boot camp, he had enthusiasm. He was like a puppy dog. He was full of energy. He was keen. He'll admit himself he was horny for girls and horny for success. You know, he was buzzing on life. Big smile on his face, positivity. So definitely no moaning or whinging or why me stories. This was a man who I knew, or rather a boy at the time, who was a machine. He had set his mind to it, and before we'd even done the warm-up, he was racing off. He was going for it. He was jumping in. And more importantly, he wasn't just spam approaching, obviously, after that. He was approaching, listening to advice, applying it, and then approaching again. Rinse and repeat. That's how you get great at something, all right? It's effective learning. It's not a mystery. You can do it for any skill set. So after the boot camp, he went out with another bootcamp student and they just hit it so hard. For about a year, Sam hit it. Even with poor logistics, living with his parents outside London, he would come into central London, have days where he would just beast it, like marathon days, collect loads of phone numbers. And because, this is great, because he had such bad logistics, he couldn't really take the girls to his mum's, or he didn't want to, he would improvise. And he got laid with girls in parks, toilets. We let him use our logistics sometimes. He just found a way. And you need that hunger to be successful at anything. If it comes too easy, if it's on a plate, you don't have that fire in your belly. And Sam did. And within a year, I think he had slept with a beautiful model from Milan. And that just blew his head off. And the girls I saw him with, they were fantastic. And I wish him well for what he's doing in Spain right now. I haven't seen him for a while, but he went on to teach day game. I'm not sure if he still is teaching in Spain, but he's finished uni and he just got it. He understood as well the fundamental principles behind why these techniques worked. You know, he got the whole red pill thing, not in an online academic way. You can tell I'm in London. I'm about to be arrested. See, not understanding it in an academic way, but he understood it from his time on the street. And that's the best way to understand this knowledge. But good question, Mike. All right, next question. Boris Plotkin says, what's your schedule for the next month? Oh, Ben, this is Boomer TV asks the same. What countries do you plan to visit in the near future? Well, like I said in the beginning of the podcast, I'll be revisiting Poland, first time Kazakhstan, revisiting Spain, first time Brazil, first time Japan. That really rounds off my year. I hope to make it back to Moscow as well in chilly, wintry, snowy December. But it's been one hell of a year for traveling new countries, so that's quite enough to feast on for this year. I'll tell you more about my travel plans another time. All right, next Twitter question from a Twitter user with Taiwanese characters in his name, I think. Apologies, I couldn't read it, not being a fluent Taiwanese speaker myself. He says, when you get a number from a girl and find out she is not available later in the week, how will you do on text game? I guess he means, what do you do on text game? Well, that's cool. If you're listening to this, first of all, pause the podcast and go and watch my texting video, Torero texting. And I talk about my texting model because it's very common. You get her number, you send a few texts back and forth, you pull the trigger, you ask her out, and she's busy. So the worst thing to do would be to just jump on her again and immediately ask her, okay, are you free this day? And she says no, and you send another one going, are you free on this day? How about this day? This day, this day, this day. See, do you feel the pull? Which, rather than being persistent, becomes creepy and needy, low value, all right? Screams of scarcity. So what you need to do is go back to the beginning and just start pinging her again. If you don't know what pings are, I've written about this extensively. You're not asking her a question, you're just telling her what you're doing in your day, and then maybe then asking her something cheeky. So you might just say, you know, just eaten a delicious steak, feel like a caveman. How about you? Question mark. All right. And what that is trying to do is just remind her you're there. Remind her you're not a chode or needy or desperate or boring. How are you? How was your day? What are you doing? Those kind of questions. She should be amused. She should smile when she gets your message. She should reply. And then you just need to keep doing that until you feel like she's on the hook, like a good fisherman, and then reel her in with another invitation. Do that a few times. If she's still playing you along after a few weeks, she's playing you along. You're just giving her attention. So cut her off and see if she pings back like a boomerang. I'll come on to boomerangs and my theory for boomerang girls and boomerang principles in a Street Hustle video coming at you. All right, Mohammed asks a religious question. I don't mean the meaning of life, but about religious girls. How to manipulate religious beliefs. I guess you didn't want to use that word manipulate. It's a translation thing. How to manipulate religious beliefs about sex in girls' mind, like it's a bad sin. I think that question means how to overcome a religious girl who has strong beliefs and she has been brought up to think that sex is a sin. Like in most world religions, yep, sex before marriage is a sin. Sexual thoughts, lustful desires, looking at the opposite sex, yep, it's a sin that needs confession and cleansing and Hail Marys, or whatever the equivalent is in Islam. But the good news, Mohammed, here's the good news. I have seduced many Muslim girls, that is girls from London who are of the Muslim faith, or girls from Morocco, girls from Egypt, girls from Lebanon, girls in Iran. I had an Iranian girlfriend, many girls from Turkey. I had a beautiful Turkish girlfriend, and their families were strict Muslims, okay? I've seduced one evangelical Christian, if you know what that is, pretty happy-clappy, you know, hardcore. And the strangest religious girl I've seduced, a virgin, belonged to the cultish, or rather cultish, Baha'i faith. You can look that up. And she had never even touched the guy, you know, held his hand or kissed the guy. And then it took me a while to dig in her, but I did, and I slept with her. So what's the message of all these stories? It is that biology is stronger than religion. That's why, you know, priests sin, people of congregations sin. Biology, i.e. your desire to eat, your desire to protect yourself and your family, your desire to have shelter, your desire to procreate and reproduce, these are so hardwired, and they existed millions of years before the sociological, psychological, you could say, phenomena, the meme that is religion. All right, religion, you can argue for sure, has a survival benefit. That's why it evolved. It evolved numerous times, and it's such a strong meme in our minds, religion, like politics, but even stronger. It has survival benefit because believing in a deity, believing that all will be well, fighting for a cause, you know, this aids an individual's survival. Anyway, let's not get into whether religion is right or wrong, or the meaning of religion, or which religion is the best. But just to say that girls have these needs, wants, and desires, and they don't go away. And what I call in my first book, Day Game, I call this the pressure cooker effect. That you know this from when your mum and dad used to say to you, don't do that, you're not allowed to do that. there's that famous YouTube video, an experiment where they put a candy or a box in front of kids, I think, and say, you know, don't, whatever you do, I'm going to leave the room, but don't open the box, or you've got to wait 5 minutes and then you can eat the candy. And of course, the kid opens the box or eats the candy. It's that desire. So girls have this. And the more you say no, especially in strict Muslim girls or strict Christian girls, they feel ultra horny. So when they get the chance away from prying eyes, and they're out of their country, perhaps learning English here in London, or you can get them sneakily away from their families, they go crazy. So some of the craziest girls I've ever slept with have been Muslim girls, virgins, the Baha'i girl, the evangelical girl. They want to try all this stuff with you. Okay, so don't worry, don't see it as manipulation. I don't see it as a sin. Like I said, I'm not going to go into religious beliefs, but just know that it's very, very possible. It actually probably works in your favor. All right, a virgin girl wants to try something. So remember secret society principles and the power of DNA replication, the power of biology. Have faith, Mohammed. Okay, Tom asks another practical question. Can you go over how to get back to her place if you live with parents, and how to get her to agree to go back if she said no? All right, I guess you mean like a soft no, not as in a weird no that you're trying to overcome. Okay, I've already mentioned Sam had this problem, my mate Sam. He lived with his parents more than an hour away from London. So first of all, you can improvise, all right? If you can't go to yours or hers, in most big cities, there's parks and secluded areas. You might have a beach. In Santa Monica, it's under the pier. A bit more seedy in London, we have disabled toilets, some very nice ones in posh hotels. Getting a hotel room will come back onto, all right? Because that's probably the hardest one. But going back to hers, how do you do it? Well, in the date, on the date, first of all, I want you to test her logistics. That means weaving in logistical questions. You can slip in that, you know, she can't come back to yours because you're having building work done, or you've got relatives round, or la-di-la-di-la. So first of all, she knows that. Then you're going to weave in questions like, so what part of London do you live in? Or how far from the centre do you live in? Who do you live with? All right. Oh, are you in a tiny room, or do you like share your room? La-la-la-la-la. How do you get from here to yours? You know, oh, it's a bus, or oh, it's a tube, or oh, how far is that in a taxi? These are all logistical questions. And you'll find out, importantly, does she live with her sister? Does she live with her boyfriend? Does she live with her parents? Does she live in a hostel with 20 beds in the room? Or does she have her own place, which is just around the corner? That's testing logistics. Then once you know that, you're going to weave in seeding the bounce. All right. I mention all this stuff on my how to date video as well. So you're not asking all these questions like a police officer in a row. You're weaving them in. All right. She shouldn't notice. Seeding the bounce means finding a reason to go back to hers. Or if you want to use the disabled toilet, finding a reason to use the disabled toilet, or find a reason to walk in the park, you know. Show her that tree planted by your great-great-grandfather that you just have to see in the middle of the park, or that view from Primrose Hill you have to see. Or as Dave Digler says, the graffiti by Banksy in the toilet that you have to come and see with a smile on your face. So you might say to her, she mentions her records, and you say, oh yeah, I'd love to check out the record collection. Or she might say she's really good at making smoothies, and you'd say, okay, we can have like a smoothie competition at yours, right? I'll make one and then you can make one. Or she might say she plays the piano and you can go back and she can teach you the piano. You can bring some food over to hers. You can bring a movie over to hers. You can bring something to suggest, like, okay, I bring this, you provide the location. It's like, I'll bring the popcorn, you provide the home cinema, bingo bango. And again, jump in a taxi. Girls know what it means, okay? Girls that want to get laid will kind of help you get laid, even with this little token resistance, LMR, whatever. Girls know. So a smile on your face when you say, look, yeah, I'll grab a bottle of wine. You show me that jazz piano you said. Let's go. Stop a taxi. Get in. She'll know. Okay. You shouldn't be tricking a girl back to go back to hers. And if she says no, as in I'm not sure, It's the principle of manning up, leading, stopping the taxi, going for it, all right? I've had to overcome that many times. Read my first book. Most of the lay stories where I went back to her house. You have to be pretty persistent. If it's obviously a strong no, you just stop the date, you roll off. That means take a step back, light kiss, say goodnight, then set up the next date, all right? Logistics is in your control. It is a big part, but like Sam did, Sam got laid with loads and loads of girls without taking them back to his or going back to hers. He improvised. Maybe you know some friends with better logistics and you can borrow their sofa or borrow their room. Work it out. Again, it's a bit like the travel questions. Part of getting good with game is figuring this stuff out practically, all right? Not just hypothetically in your mind. But anyway, I hope that helps. Neon Rebel asks, hey, Tom, how do you reduce spam approaching? Focusing on a high approach rate can make interactions quick and spammy. Good question, because I'm always nagging guys to approach more. It's probably the biggest sticking point that guys just don't do it enough during the day. But if they are doing a high volume of approaching, you're right, it could be spammy, i.e. that's just running up to a girl going, hi, you look nice, what's your number? Hi, you look nice, what's your number? It's called find the yes girl. It's really day game with no skill, just doing mass trawling, mass fishing. And it can get you laid, but it makes you feel weird. It gives the street a weird vibe. The girl feels like it's very fast and it just requires luck. So we need a middle way, not approach anxiety, not approaching and not spammy approaching. The middle way would be to set a target and do the same amount every week. I always say between 30 and 50 or 10 every time you go out, try and do 10 in 2 hours. And make those approaches effective. Make them count. All right, so you approach, maybe do two or three approaches, and then stop and think about, okay, what happened there? What was the pattern? What can I try to correct that sticking point? Then make a correction, try again, and evaluate. Try again, correct, evaluate. This is effective learning. This is how you learn any skill set, from playing the guitar to tennis to martial arts to day game. Having a wing obviously helps to watch you and listen to you with wireless microphones. Recording yourself with MP3s or dictaphone, that makes you evaluate. I'm not saying micromanage and evaluate everything. And as I say in the book, Beginner Day Game, if you're a complete newbie, complete beginner, don't evaluate anything. Your job is just to leave the house and start talking to girls, let's say for the first 100 approaches. But after that, yeah, you want to think, what's going on? Where am I on the London day game model continuity sticking point line, you know? Have a look at my sheet that I use with students. There's a video and a PDF for free on YouTube where I give away my teaching criteria, my teaching checklist, and maybe your sticking point is the open, or it's the stacking, or it's the vibing and getting the hook. Is it getting her to invest? Is it closing strong? There's so many things that could be going wrong. So yeah, stop, think, evaluate, change, correct, try again. Make each approach count. All right, lots and lots of tweets from this dude. Very keen. His Twitter name is however it's me. I think he asked me 5 or 6 questions. I don't know if I can answer them all now. It depends how long each one takes. Let's give it a go. But I like your I like your cockiness in asking all these questions. Right. He says, how do you deal with the ethical aspects which come from day game? By that, I mean, how do you cope with breaking girls' hearts and girls falling in love with you? And maybe you can think of other aspects. I'm tired to think anymore. I love that line. Maybe you can think of other aspects. I'm tired to think anymore. However it's me, you should watch my love letters part 2. You'll see why I'm laughing there. All right, be careful. There's no white knight in that question. So be careful you're not kind of chody, overly romantic, coming from scarcity. I will always love you mindset, okay? No, I'm not denying love exists, but I am saying be careful if you're in scarcity of Disney-fied love one-itis. But, okay, the ethical aspects. I don't follow ethical codes, you could say, when it comes to game. Because game is getting laid. So I'm in it to get laid. I'm not thinking about Christian morals or traditional ethics in terms of right and wrong. It's a bit like a fight. I don't think a boxer thinks about the ethical underlying things going on. A fight is a fight. Getting laid is getting laid. I'm not saying do illegal things. I'm just saying, you know, you got to be horny. You got to be in it. So do you break girls' hearts sometimes? Yeah. Do they break yours? Yeah. That's the name of the game. You know, you're going to lose and you're going to win. And in the SMV hustle, somebody usually wins or loses. Either you get the sex off the girl without committing to a relationship, or she gets the relationship out of you and you lose your right to roam. You could say that's the definition of the SMV, sexual market value hustle. If you haven't seen my video on the sexual marketplace, watch that, mate. It'll explain a bit more. But in terms of breaking girls' hearts, that happens to me less and less now. Okay, in the last 2-3 years, that's happened less and less. In the beginning, when you start all this, you're probably giving off a very boyfriend vibe. And you're taking girls on 3, 4, 5, 6 dates. Maybe you're taking them out to dinner, the cinema, going for walks, holding hands, doing couple-y stuff. And quite rightly, girls think you want to be their boyfriend. And then when you have sex and run away, they call you things like bastard, player, dick, selfish, liar, etc., etc. And you kind of deserve it. And in my first book, Day Game, where I go over those 100 lay reports, a lot of those girls thought I was the boyfriend because I put so much work and time into the pickup. But as you go on, you move from the boyfriend frame to the lover frame. All right, in biology, that's called going from K to R selected, in that you're giving off, as a good day gamer, a lover vibe. So when a girl looks into your eyes on the street, she should know that you're a player, in a good sense, all right? You're a gigolo, you are a Casanova, you are a seducer. From your body language and what you say and the way you behave, the way you talk to her, the way you behave on texts, the way you behave on a date, she knows that you're a player. Some girls don't go for it. A lot of girls do. Even married women, girls with boyfriends. So you never are put in the boyfriend box, so she's not upset after you've had that passionate casual sex because that's what she wanted. Okay, that's all about being a lover. And that's what I specialize in now in the last couple of years, where girls get it. Secret society. And now, some girls obviously don't get it. Maybe they're naive, maybe they're young. Maybe you didn't quite give off the lover frame properly. So you need to give her what's called in game, quote unquote, the talk. All right, there's many versions of this talk. I've mentioned it a lot. I talk about it in Badass Buddha. If you feel like she's becoming clingy, or she's hanging on to you, or she thinks you're going to be the boyfriend, or she's getting possessive, she's getting jealous, you have to sit her down. You have to man up and you have to say, look, Sarah, let's have a quick talk, okay? I just want to let you know. Now, you can copy this talk or you can vary it, but it goes like this. I just want you to know you're a cool girl. You're a very pretty girl. You're clever as well. I love spending time with you. It's great fun. You're just my kind of girl. But I want to let you know that right now, I'm not looking for a girlfriend. I'm not in that place because I've come out of a relationship and I like to travel. I like to be free. I like to be independent. I'm putting my energy elsewhere, but I like spending time with you. And in the future, you're the kind of girl that I could definitely date. So if you're cool with it, I'd like to see you once a week or twice a week, whatever. But I just wanted to let you know that I'm not looking for a girlfriend. Now, that's called putting your cards on the table. That's the talk. And once you've done that, it's great. You kind of get out of jail free. You're home free, because if she then decides to keep seeing you and have sex with you, then she knows. And if she still becomes clingy after that, you can kind of remind her of the talk, okay? So that's called the talk. And the final thing, which you could say is not ethical, is that, remember, a pretty girl has more abundance than you. A very pretty girl has amazing abundance. She can go out and get a very high-value man tomorrow. She's probably already got orbiters on her air traffic control. That means guys in standby. Providers and pretty boys and jacked guys and guys she met at the club and guys on her Facebook and guys in her college and guys in her work, they're all waiting. So don't feel too bad, however it's made, that when you leave, pretty quickly she'll have another guy. And that's just life, okay? She'll be able to get a guy quicker than you can get a girl. So take it or leave it, that advice. But there you go. I hope that helped. All right. You ask again, how many times did you fall in love on your day game journey? I know this feeling is hard to get. You say if you live in abundance, but maybe you had one or two. That's a long story. And that's what my first book, Day Game, is all about. So I go into falling in love and the difference between scarcity and abundance in that book. So check that one out. Your next question, your third question is, what are your thoughts on getting a vasectomy? Oh, my word. I am not a qualified doctor. It's not for me to say whether you should or should not have children. That's a big decision. I think you can get them reversed, but that's a bit dodgy. So only do it, obviously, if you don't want kids. But I don't know how old you are. I don't know how many partners you've had. I don't know if you've... whatever. So many variables. Again, man up. That's a big life decision that only you can make. I'll do one more of your questions, mate, because it's a bit too many for this podcast. You say, I noticed that every girl I gained sooner or later revealed a showing story about herself, like every second one had suicide thoughts. Almost everyone had bad parents and blah, blah. I can't take it serious anymore. What should I be careful? Or when should I be careful? All right. Okay, sounds like you're getting the bad girls, quote unquote bad girls, because we're all good and bad. That means you're filtering for that kind of girl, yeah? Doesn't have a father, maybe it's the stripper type, maybe it's the tattoo type, the piercing type, the barmaid type, whatever. So we all filter for girls, but the joy of doing day game is that you day game a buffet, a rainbow of different girls. So if you're opening lots of pretty girls, that shouldn't be happening. Whereas if you're doing night game or just same day lays or just stripper game, sure, you're going to get that kind of Las Vegas ex-stripper kind of girl. But I would say day game all kinds of girls, librarians, office girls, blondes, brunettes, 18-year-olds, 30-year-olds, and that should stop happening through normal distribution and volume of approaching. All right, new Twitter user Benedict says, I met a Korean girl who was my first proper day game lay. It took me 2.5 months to sleep with her. She says she wants me to go there. I don't have the money and not much experience I want with women, but I like her a bit. She said she loves me. Do you think long distance relationships work on Skype? I could visit her or she might come here in a year, or shall I hit the streets? Benedict, you know the answer to your own question, as most of our questions in life contain. We ask questions usually when we know the answer, and our question contains that answer. You say at the end, should I hit the streets? You should. Long distance relationships, no. Especially if you're in the boyfriend box. It took you quite a while to sleep with her. She's already said she loves you. That does sound like Asian girls, Korean girls, way too fast. Long distance, just no, for lots and lots of reasons. And you've said already, you want more experience with women. So take that as a good experience, as a good notch, as a good victory to spur you on to other things. And if you run into her again, fine. But becoming one-eyed-to-see, needy with her, or trying to just, you know, hold out over Skype for 1 or 2 years, no, 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 no. Thomas Loftus says, so much is put into how to attract a woman, sleep with her, etc. But how do you deal with a woman who wants a relationship with you? All right, Thomas, that is kind of what I was talking about with the question from However It's Me about girls falling in love with you. First of all, be careful. That's not a white knight question. Listen to my podcast. I think the last one or the one before. The one before, I think, with John, when I was talking about guys saying how they're over pickup because it's too shallow and they just want to rescue women. They want quality relationships with women. Be careful. That's not you. Or you're putting a certain woman on a pedestal, i.e. that's a loaded question. If women want relationships with you, well, that's a good thing. You're coming across as a very valuable, high-value, normal guy, as long as you're not the provider guy flashing your passport and your cash. That might be why some women want relationships with guys. But again, consider, are you giving off the boyfriend vibe when you do your day game texting and dating, or are you giving off the lover vibe? All right. So you are the chooser, not the chosen one. You're the buyer, not the seller. And to be the chooser, you need abundance. That means you need to go out, collect lots of numbers, do a lot of texting of different girls, go on a lot of dates, be sleeping with or having the possibility to sleep with different girls. It's a place of strength. So if you want to then decide to get into a relationship, fine, do it. That's fine. I'm not against relationships or even marriage. I've said many times before. But if you're doing it from a place of weakness, i.e. Maybe what Benedict was talking about before, just jumping into the first girl you've slept with, then be very careful. All right, so if lots of girls are getting the wrong idea about relationships with you, give them the talk, give off more of a lover frame. Make sure you're letting girls know what's going on, all right? If you're thinking about how to get a relationship with a girl, then take my dad's advice, Thomas, all right? And first of all, be the lover. I've said this in many more podcasts. You can't start as the boyfriend and then go into lover mode. You have to start as the lover and then go into boyfriend mode. So start off with fast sex. Try and sleep with her as quickly as you can. Have all the passion, have all the craziness. Find out if she's a cool chick. Find out if there's any red flags. Find out if she's stable. Find out if you like spending time with her other than just having sex with her. And this takes not just days or weeks, this takes months. All right, really get to know her if you're in for it for the long haul. And then sure, have a relationship, but don't jump into it. You are the buyer, not the seller. All right, especially if you're under the age of, I don't know, 40 or 35. No need to jump in. All right, two more questions. Let me see how we're doing. We've gone over 30 minutes already, but fuck it. Let's get these questions in. Benedict, maybe the same Benedict, maybe a different Benedict. He says, what's your opinion on the no-fap movement? I find porn addictive and it lowers my sex drive. Have you cut off masturbation and porn completely for day game? Very common question on the forums and live events. The definitive answer to this FAP question is each to their own. For some guys, knocking one out, watching porn, lowers your sex drive. You feel lethargic and depressed and you don't go out and hit on girls. So you've answered the question. Don't do it. For guys, including myself, knocking one out, watching porn, actually makes me hornier. It doesn't affect me. It almost increases my sex drive. Can't explain why. 50% of guys feel the same as me. So obviously, I carry on doing it. Obviously, don't go crazy and make it an addiction. As long as you're going out and cold approaching and feeling horny, do whatever fuels that horniness. Last question from Alexandra. I like how he starts this question with just a word. It's very dramatic. He says, arrogance, full stop. You're the first pickup teacher I hear to mention this as an alpha male quality. But what type of arrogance do you mean exactly? Is there such a thing as good/bad arrogance? I like the tone of that question. It's almost arrogant in itself, but that's good. It's coming across as good arrogance. You're holding the frame. You're dominant without being rude. And in the Nice Bad Boy video series, if you haven't seen that, there are 30 videos on my YouTube channel for free about the qualities of a nice bad boy or the badass Buddha. I talk about the sweet spot, which is the badass Buddha, okay, of yes, being arrogant, but not being a total douche, not being a dick. So let's give you some practical examples. For good arrogance, I want you to think of someone who has a red carpet walk, somebody who has swagger, like a male movie star. Think of the charm and cheeky charisma of Bill Clinton. Think of the cockiness, the holding of the frame, the cheeky, soft dominance of someone like Hank Moody in the TV show Californication, all right? He's a lovable dick. That's the cocky arrogance that a player should have, all right? Watch my top 10 PUA movie recommendations and you'll see some other examples. That's on YouTube. Bad arrogance would be ridiculous narcissism, that kind of real dark triad, crazy, rude, evil arrogance, you could say, quote unquote, of, what's an example? Christian Bale in the movie American Psycho. That's very dark triad, all right? Bits of Wolf of Wall Street. Watch Leonardo DiCaprio in that Scorsese movie. Little bits of good arrogance in him, but mostly bad arrogance. So, of course, you can have good and bad arrogance. The player needs to be the badass Buddha. He needs to display that cockiness without making girls run away. It's good when girls are kind of like playfully slapping you, saying, you are such a douche, or, oh my God, you're such a bad boy, or you are so arrogant. And you say, I know, you can call me God. And she's like, excuse me? And you say, you're excused. That's all fine. That's playful, all right? But genuinely just shouting at women, hating women, treating them really badly, having women absolutely hate your guts, that's bad arrogance. Not going to last. Player's going to burn himself out. It's going to end in disaster. There you go. No more questions. That's it for a few more podcasts. But like I said, if you've got any more questions while I'm on the road, tweet them to me, dear listeners, because Twitter's much easier than trying to amass all these questions via all these different sources. Email is more for coaching. All right. Once again, don't be lazy and ask questions that I've already answered a million times on YouTube about day game, texting, dating, whatever. It's all out there. But if you want to know about Skype coaching or private coaching or my Saturday Street Hustle coaching, it's tom@tomterrero.com. Until next time, ta-da.